When Anya woke a few hours later, rain continued to pelt the cabana. She'd left the veranda open, welcoming the gusting winds. She looked out from the bed and watched as the waves battled one another beneath the dark clouds. A quick glance at her watch told her that it was after 5 in the evening. Presumably, dinner would be served soon in the main pavilion. But before she ate another meal, Anya wanted to do some research. She eased herself out from under Hans's arm. He shifted in his sleep. Anya looked down at him and smiled. He was handsome even with his eyes closed. After showering and getting dressed, Anya managed to make it to the administration building without getting too wet. She stood in front of the main desk and looked at the smiling woman sitting there.
Do you have internet access here?
Of course, Mom. We have a bank of computers you can use.
The woman led her to a small room tucked away off the main corridor close to the dining pavilion. Anya entered and found the room was cooled with a small air conditioner. She welcomed the cool, dry feeling of the room and sat down behind the computer. Anya spent the better part of the next 2 hours researching everything from lost civilizations to rumors of giant oysters. What she found didn't do much to refute Speer's theories, but neither did it support them. Rumors of lost civilizations were as plentiful as ever, but there was little proof to suggest that any had ever actually existed. Every few years, someone seemed to come out with a new theory on their existence and why expeditions should be launched to discover if they were, in fact, real. But no one ever seemed to come back with any proof. Giant Pacific oysters, on the other hand, were real enough, and Anya found several newspaper accounts of oysters reportedly 3 times the size of a man's hand. Of course, whether any oyster or giant clam could produce a pearl the size of the one Speer was seeking was another question entirely. Anya did find mention of another large pearl, the Pearl of Allah, which had been located by a diver right in Palawan itself back in 1934. It measured an astonishing 9 inches across, but didn't resemble a stereotypical pearl at all. The Pearl of Allah was lumpy and misshapen. Of course, that didn't mean it was worthless. Recent estimates had placed its value at around $42 million. Maybe there was something to Speer's story after all. A giant pearl didn't seem to be out of the realm of possibility, even if they weren't smooth and round and black. Anya did a little more digging, this time on Speer himself. Joachim Speer was a self-made man. Teaching himself to be a day trader, Speer made millions and then invested those proceeds further, exponentially increasing his net worth until it reached roughly $1 billion, making him one of Germany's wealthiest individuals. Prior to becoming an investment guru, Speer had served in the German military after World War II, eventually earning his parachute wings as one of the famed parachute commandos. There wasn't much to Speer's service record, and several sections had been blacked out. After his discharge from the military, Speer lived in Munich and married his high school sweetheart. Speer's wife died from cancer in the late 1970s. They never had children. Speer never remarried and became something of a recluse. He was generous in his charity work, though, especially to foundations devoted to prolonging life. Was Speer after some kind of fountain of youth? But at 80, why had he only started looking for the pearl now? If he was so concerned about his vitality, wouldn't he have started looking for it long ago? On a whim, Anya started to type in Hans's name, but then realized she didn't know his last name. She switched her query and typed in news about German involvement in the Afghanistan war. She found a few articles detailing the friendly fire incidents that had caused so much political strife back in Germany. But there was one site that listed the extensive number of German casualties in the war. But she found nothing much about German special operations units deployed to Afghanistan, aside from several German media reports that claimed up to 12 members of a KSK unit, which Anya learned stood for Kommando Spezialkräfte, had been killed. Whether Hans's teammates were included in that number, she wasn't sure. But Anya had been around enough soldiers involved in special operations to know that what happened and what got reported were often at opposite points in their peculiar universe. It was certainly reasonable to assume that Hans was telling her the truth about the failed operation. Certainly, other operations had been bungled in their handling by higher-ups and bureaucrats before. Anya switched off the computer and got up from the desk. She could have stayed in the cool room a while longer. She was completely dry, but checking her watch, she also discovered she was ravenous. Outside, the pavilion was largely subdued, and the rain continued to fall steadily. Anya doubted that Speer would be able to get his night dive in tonight.
I thought I might have scared you off.
Anya jumped a little and turned. Hans stood there grinning at her. He looked freshly showered and shaved. Anya blushed.
No. I just needed to check some things out.
You couldn't check them out in your room?
You were sleeping so soundly, I didn't want to disturb you.
I apparently overexerted myself this afternoon.
Apparently.
You hungry?
Famished.
While they dined, other team members came in and sat with them. Anya watched the pounding surf and shook her head.
Feels like monsoon season around here today.
I hear from the weather reports that this may continue into tomorrow morning.
Not much chance of a night dive, it would appear.
Good. Then we can sleep in a little bit. I don't know about you, but I've been quite tired.
I could do with an early night.
So, Anya, did you manage to find some time to do research?
As Speer sat down at their table, Anya noted he had a large pile of food on his plate again.
I wish I could eat that much without putting on any weight.
It's all in how you keep yourself active.
I don't know many 80-year-old men who can eat like you do, Joachim.
Always a pleasure to be an oddity, I suppose. So, tell me, what did you find out?
Did you know about the Pearl of Allah?
Yes. 9 inches across, supposedly.
So finding a giant pearl isn't necessarily out of the question.
Did you read the description of the pearl?
They said it was a misshapen mess. The pearl we're looking for is supposedly round, right?
Yes. Round and as black as the very night itself. Or perhaps as dark as the weather here.
No diving tonight, I guess.
Alas, Mother Nature is sometimes a cruel mistress.
They passed the remainder of the dinner talking about the pearl and what they expected to find out at the dive site. But as the hours passed and true night settled in, Anya found herself growing sleepy. When they were done with dinner, she and Hans lingered a while near the pavilion entrance.
I think I'm going to call it a night.
Was it something I did?
You've got nothing to worry about in that department. I think if anything, you wore me out is all.
See you tomorrow morning.
Absolutely.
Joachim wants to get started early again, providing Zveza decides to cooperate, of course.
Call me if anything comes up.
I will.
Anya watched Hans walk toward the other section of cabanas before turning and heading out through the rain. She smiled as she quickly grew soaked. The rain felt refreshing, and she felt re-energized. Anya passed her cabana and continued walking around the resort. No one was out on a night like this, and every breeze blew more water over her. She walked closer to the water's edge and then over to where the dive master's shack was situated. Ahead of her, she thought she saw movement. Anya squinted and then used her peripheral vision to scan the area. Someone was moving in the shadows down by the dock.
Maybe it's Dr. Tico keeping late hours at the medical clinic, or the dive master finishing up for the day.
But a quick glance at both the dive master's shack and the clinic showed Anya there were no lights on in either one. And what's more, the figure ahead of her seemed to be trying to keep his movements concealed. Anya squatted on the path and watched as he moved from the dive master's shack down to the dock and back again several times. Someone was planning to go diving tonight, regardless of the storm. Without thinking about it, Anya moved down the path to get a better look. She froze as the figure came back up the walkway and vanished again inside the dive shack. Anya watched as he dragged out what looked to be oxygen tanks and then stowed them aboard one of the resort sloops, like the one she'd ridden on out to the dive site.
Who would be crazy enough to go diving in this weather? At night, no less. It's virtually suicidal.
Anya moved closer to the dock and paused behind a large tree. The shadowy figure vanished into the dive shack, and Anya made her way down to the boat. She was right. There were 4 oxygen tanks and multiple mouthpieces and regulators aboard. Masks and fins completed the gear. She heard a noise behind her and had to sink down behind one of the pilings. The person put down several bags. Anya saw what looked like high-powered lights going into the boat. The figure covered all the gear with a tarp and then vanished into the dive shack again. Anya moved closer to the boat. She looked under the tarp and confirmed that there were lights there. Whoever was in the dive shack was going for a little nocturnal exploration. She heard another sound and whirled, seeing the shadow coming down toward her. Anya had no time to hide, and instead found herself sliding into the boat and concealing herself under the tarp. Luckily, the waves in the tiny bay were already causing the boat to bob up and down. The shadow didn't notice the commotion. He stepped onto the boat. Anya's heart jumped in her chest. The rope was tossed onto the tarp that covered her, and then the boat eased away from the dock. The boat bounced over the waves, and Anya struggled to hold on to the sides of the boat without alerting the shadow. She could confront the person, of course, but she felt there had to be a good reason for why he was doing this in secret. She wanted to know why. So she stayed put and let the motion of the boat move her about. The real task would be staying concealed when the shadow stopped the boat and prepared to dive. That came sooner than she expected. Anya peeked out from under the tarp. The shadowy coastline in the distance appeared to put them in the same location where Anya had dived earlier with Speer and his team. The tarp shifted, and Anya froze. She heard nothing that would indicate the identity of the shadow she shared the boat with. Judging from the motion of the boat, he was strapping on his diving gear. Anya crept out from under the tarp. Rain still pelted her, and the cloudy sky overhead gave her very little ambient light to see anything. She checked the equipment and found that one of the arc lights had gone over the side as well. As if on cue, a circle of light came from below the boat. Anya peered over the side and saw that the shadow had set up lights around the coral reef.
What is he doing down there?
She glanced back at the gear. There were enough oxygen tanks, she figured. Enough other gear as well. Before reason could prevail, Anya pulled her dress over her head and, in her bra and panties, started strapping into the diving gear. In a few minutes, she was ready. Over the side, she went. She couldn't see anything except the light in front of her far down below. There was a real danger, she knew, of running into another shark. They fed at night, and in the inky darkness of the sea, she could easily be mistaken for food. She sank deeper toward the light. That would be the safest place to be, she supposed. At the bottom, she could see the shadowy figure working on another light rig. She didn't think he'd brought much over the side with him, but she saw that there was a lot more gear down here than she'd expected. Anya drifted slowly farther down, trying to remain just out of the light's ambient pool. She sank lower and wound her way slowly around to where she could spy on the shadow without him seeing her behind the coral. He wore a dark wetsuit that covered his entire body. The mask he wore obscured his face, and Anya had no idea who she might be diving with. The shadow put another set of lights down near the base of the reef and flicked them on. Bright yellow light illuminated an area of the reef, and the fish responded accordingly. Most of them backed into their tiny crevices, into the darkness. But Anya saw that the larger fish crowded around the light as if to investigate this burning sun in their world. The shadow ignored them and immediately started focusing his attention on the various outcroppings nearby. With a silver-bladed knife, he pried into them. Anya recognized the part of the reef as being where Hans had found the covered marble, but the shadow wasn't near that. Anya checked around her. A dark shape on the edge of her vision darted past her. Anya whirled, kicking up a disturbance in the sand. But by the time she turned, the shape was gone. Another shark? She fought against the rising tide of fear. She should leave, of course. The boat was above her, somewhere. Provided she didn't screw up too much, she would be able to find it again. But what then? She peered around the edge of the reef, and the shadow was gone. Anya whirled around.
Where did he go?
She crept around the edge of the reef, thinking he must have moved on to another section. She looked around, trying to find his air bubble trail. If she could see that, then she could pinpoint his location without too much difficulty. But she saw nothing. It really was almost as if he had disappeared right off the coral reef. Anya looked behind her into the depths, but saw nothing there either.
He has to be around here somewhere.
She crept around to where she'd seen him last. She recognized where he'd scraped off a few barnacles, but the outcroppings yielded nothing that gave her a clue as to where he'd gone. Anya's mouth went dry, then she glanced down at her oxygen gauge. It was running close to empty. Her mind whirled. The tanks should have been filled if they were going to be used for diving.
I haven't been down that long.
She needed to get back to the boat, but in the next instant, she knew where the shadow had gone. He'd resurfaced. Anya glanced up and saw the white foam as the boat suddenly shot back the way they had come out, leaving Anya all alone in the dark ocean. She had to get to the surface, and that meant leaving the comfort of the light. But Anya had no choice. She was already feeling the chill of the cooler water entering her body. She'd be hypothermic if that guy didn't bring the boat back soon. She guessed they were about a mile offshore. She could swim for it, but in the storm it would be a tough slog.
First things first, let's get to the surface.
She watched the bubbles rise in front of her and made sure she ascended slower than they did. Almost there. She tasted the staleness of the air in her tank. It was almost gone. The darkness around her seemed to expand and envelop her. Anya fought for breath. She was 20 feet from the surface. 15. 10. The darkness closed in as Anya took her last breath. She broke the surface. Then she passed out, bobbing in the swells.
I must say that I find your choice of lingerie particularly compelling.
Anya blinked her eyes and found herself for the second time in as many days on another boat other than the one she'd arrived on. It was still night, and she felt drops of rain on her skin. But she was alive.
Hello, Rue.
So, you do recognize me. Well, that's good at least. It means you didn't sustain any lasting brain damage when you blacked out.
Anya rubbed her head and sat up. Her sometime mentor, Rue, draped a thick woolen blanket around her shoulders.
Yeah, keep this around you. It'll warm you up some until I can get us back ashore.
What are you doing here?
I'd ask the same thing of you. You should be in New York.
I was. I got tired of being there.
So you flew halfway around the world? Your ability to surprise me is without limits.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Please do. I meant it as such.
Rue started the engine, sat down, and with one hand on the tiller, guided the boat toward the darkened coastline.
Where are we going?
The trip back to Club Noah will take us too long. I'm afraid you might have hypothermia, so we need to get you someplace warm as soon as possible.
I'm fine.
No, you're not. Now stop being your usual stubborn self and let me help you.
And why would you do that?
Is that any way to treat an old friend?
You're an old swindler. Stop pretending otherwise.
Fair enough. But I'm still enough of a friend that I plucked you out of the water and saved your life.
Thank you for that. And what's with the wetsuit? Were you diving?
That was the plan, until you interrupted it by taking a swim in your underwear.
Yeah, well, I didn't realize I was going to be going for a dive tonight.
No? Then what brought you out here?
I saw someone back at the resort. I followed him.
And why on earth would you do a thing like that in the middle of the night with a storm raging?
My natural curiosity?
Oh, I know all about that natural curiosity of yours, Anya. And I also know it's gotten you into trouble more than any of my other friends.
You don't have any other friends, Rue.
More sharp-barbed commentary from the wounded exhibitionist. Honestly.
The tiny boat bobbed over the swells, and then Rue guided it into a small tree-lined cove. The waves grew less violent, and he beached the little craft on the sandy shore. Stepping out, Rue held out his hand to Anya.
Is it all right to offer my hand to a young maiden like yourself?
It's a bit outdated.
Anya accepted his help anyway and stepped onto the beach. They quickly headed into the trees to give them some shelter from the storm.
Where are we?
On the other side of the island. Your resort is over the mountain there. You're welcome to head back that way. Although I think the bugs would eat you alive before you'd get close.
Rue busied himself with making a fire, and despite the deluge that had fallen, the older man managed to have a blazing fire going in a few short minutes. He stepped back and admired his work.
There. That should warm you up nicely in no time. Plus, it'll keep the bugs away.
Anya moved closer to the flames, but she kept the blanket wrapped around her. No sense giving Rue any more of a peep show than necessary. Anya thanked her lucky stars that it hadn't been Garin Braden who'd found her. He would have had a hard time restraining himself. Rue and Garin had become as much a part of her life as Joan of Arc's sword. The two men had followed the sword through time ever since Joan's death. And now that Anya possessed the sword, they all tried to understand, and sometimes fight, the power that linked them.
Whiskey?
Anya looked up at the small thermos cup in Rue's hand.
Thanks.
Rue found a log and rolled it over to sit on.
So, you're here expressly for the purpose of relaxing? Is that it?
Yeah, that was my original intention.
What changed your mind?
Nothing did. I don't know. I can't seem to avoid bad situations that need correcting.
More problems accepting your destiny, I see. I do find it so amusing sometimes.
Well, it's gratifying to know that I keep you entertained. Makes my life worth living.
Rue took the cup back and drained it before refilling it.
So, why the Philippines?
There's a reef here I wanted to explore. Apparently, it hadn't been properly cataloged.
And so, yesterday you arrived and promptly went diving by yourself?
How do you know I was here yesterday?
Anya, Anya, Anya. After all these years, are you really so surprised that I know where you are all the time?
You seemed surprised enough when you fished me out of the drink.
Well, that's because I assumed you were tucked away in your cabana with your new boyfriend. I didn't think I'd find you bobbing dead to the world on the swells out here, waiting for some shark to grab you. Again.
You know about that, too?
I heard some things. How did the sword work underwater? Slice him right through, did it?
It did the job.
Ah, yes, well. You wouldn't see the glory in killing such a fine beast, I suppose. Shame, really. I wish I could have seen it.
Well, next time a huge shark wants to eat me for lunch, I'll be sure to let you know first.
Excellent. I'd appreciate that.
I'm sure you would.
The fire crackled, and despite everything that had happened, Anya felt sleepy. She leaned back against a tree and let her eyelids droop slightly.
So why are you here, Rue?
Well, maybe I'm on vacation, too.
You're a terrible liar. Didn't Garin ever tell you that?
More times than I care to remember. I don't have to tell you that you're lucky I found you tonight instead of him. You wouldn't still have those white lacy things on if he had.
I already considered that. Now stop trying to change the subject.
Was I?
You were.
Rue let a few seconds pass while more of the wet wood crackled in the heat of the fire. Finally, he stood and helped himself to more whiskey.
Very well. Since you seem to already have suspicions, I suppose it's only fair to tell you what's going on.
Go ahead.
You've heard of the Pearl of Palawan already. I know that Herr Speer has told you about its powers.
He hasn't really said anything about powers. Right now, he just wants to find the damn thing.
Let me guess. You don't believe it exists, do you?
I don't know what to believe, actually. You know I take everything with a very large grain of salt.
True enough. But you are simultaneously emboldened by a sense of wonder. It's what makes you so utterly charming.
Thanks.
You're welcome, my dear. So, Speer is looking for the pearl that once belonged to the great Queen Esmeralda of the Moros.
Was there really such a person? I couldn't find any reference to her today when I searched online.
Oh, well, we all know what a comprehensive, definitive source of knowledge the Internet is. I'm sure there probably was a Queen Esmeralda at some point long ago, but that's not really important anymore. Scarcely worth mentioning.
So what is important, then?
The real origin of the pearl, of course.
Let me guess. You think it came from Lemuria or Mu, too?
Is that what Speer believes?
Seems so.
How interesting. Speer is certainly more resourceful than I've given him credit for thus far.
Thus far?
Oh, certainly. I've known of his search for the pearl for some time now. I didn't think he'd get so close, though. Especially when I was also searching for it.
You? Why?
Its powers, of course. The pearl is reputed to be incredibly powerful if one knows how to tap into it.
What is it supposed to be able to do?
Control the world, of course. Isn't that true of all these ancient relics?
Some, not all.
Well, the ones worth going after all do. And naturally, Speer wants the pearl for his own purposes.
What purposes would those be?
I haven't quite figured that out yet.
All right, then. Why do you want the pearl?
Well, now that would be telling, wouldn't it? Besides, by your own admission, you were the ultimate skeptic. You probably wouldn't believe me.
Try me.
No.
Oh, come on, Rue. You're dying to tell me and you know it. What is it about the pearl that brings you all the way to Palawan?
Fine. The pearl isn't organic. It's man-made.
Okay. What's so incredible about that?
The pearl dates back to a time in Earth's history when such a thing would have been impossible to create, as far as we know.
Our understanding of history has been wrong before. How old is the pearl supposed to be?
Roughly 25,000 years.
That's impossible.
You see? Honestly, Anya, I don't know why I bother with you sometimes. After everything you've seen in connection to the sword, and after all the experiences you've had, you still cling to this ridiculous notion that the world is as the world seems to be.
My skepticism keeps me from going completely loony. Anyone else would have flipped out if they'd suddenly found themselves with Joan of Arc's old sword. Me? I seem to handle it pretty well.
Most of the time, Anya. Most of the time.
You were going diving tonight.
Yes.
So that was you back at the resort stealing oxygen tanks?
No, that was your dive master, actually. I'd paid him a nice little bribe to bring all that gear out and set it up for me to use.
You might have a word with him about his inability to fill oxygen tanks all the way to capacity.
You didn't happen to notice the label on the back of the tank you used, did you?
What label?
The one that said it wasn't to be used for diving. I had him bring out two that were half empty so I could use them for inflating several flotation devices if I found anything down there worth bringing to the surface.
I must have missed that.
I'm not surprised, considering you're in the midst of a rainstorm. Although it certainly seems to be calming down now. I can take you back to the resort.
And then you're going to return to the dive site.
I paid good money to get that gear out there.
And what will you do if you find something?
Why? What do you expect me to do?
I don't know. Maybe share it with the world?
And attract publicity? Good Lord, that's the very last thing I want.
People deserve to see what you find, Rue.
Deserve? People have tried their very best to destroy this planet time and time again. I sometimes doubt mankind would know what to do with something truly good. Most likely they'd simply try to destroy that, too.
You're part of mankind, too, Rue.
Anya, I'm 600 years old. That makes me a bit more than just another human, don't you think?
Well, you've got a superhuman ego, that's for sure.
That's the thanks I get for saving your life.
Are we leaving?
Yeah.
Rue kicked sand onto the dying embers of the fire.
Yes, let's get going. I want to dump you at the resort and then get back here before I lose the darkness.
You might find more in the sunlight.
As soon as the sun comes up, you and your merry German band will be back out there. That's the last thing I need.
Sorry to be a thorn in your side.
Rue eased the boat out into the waves and then hopped on board. Anya sat near the bow. At once, the engine sputtered to life, and Rue guided them away from the beach, pointing them out toward the bay.
Anya, whether you realize it or not, we are in this together.
We are?
You just don't see the situation for what it is. Yet.
Yet?
But you will someday. I really do believe that.
I can hardly wait.
The next morning, after a quick breakfast, Anya headed down to the dock, aware that it was getting late. As she approached the boat, she saw Hans and the rest of the men loading up the gear. Hans didn't look up or smile in her direction.
Good morning.
I went by your place last night to say hello. You weren't there.
I couldn't sleep. I went for a walk.
I waited outside of your cabana until very late. Imagine my surprise when you came back with some old man wrapped in a blanket and wearing nothing but your lingerie underneath.
Oh, Hans.
Listen, I know we just met. It's just that I thought you were different.
Trust me, Hans. I'm as different as they come.
Well, you can sleep with whomever you want, of course. But that guy, honestly, he looked ancient.
Hans, trust me. I did not sleep with him.
Anya, I know what I saw.
I know what you saw, too, but you're jumping to the wrong conclusion.
So, explain it to me, then.
I don't know that I can.
I thought so.
Hans, I didn't sleep with that guy. I can't tell you everything that's going on right now. Not because I don't trust you, but because it wouldn't make any sense to you. I promise it will all be clear in a day or two.
Fine.
So am I still welcome on the dive?
Why wouldn't you be?
Anya turned, and Speer stood there with a bright smile. He noticed the expression on Hans's face.
Hans, stop acting like a little boy. The woman has a right to be with whomever she wishes. Don't pout.
You told everyone?
I was upset.
Quite devastated. Honestly, it got a little embarrassing.
I think, Anya Creed, that you have broken Hans's heart with your cruel and calculating sexual escapades.
Hans said he was an old guy. If that's true, might I interest you in a little dalliance later?
Oh, for crying out loud. Hans saw something he didn't understand. What looked like an obvious explanation is not what happened at all.
So, what happened?
She won't tell me.
I can't.
Yeah, she slept with him.
I most certainly did not.
She's telling the truth. As delightful as it would have been, especially for Anya, we did not sleep together.
You're as bad as Garin sometimes.
Heaven forfend. I am Rue. Very pleased to meet you.
Joachim Speer. Very pleased to meet you. This is Hans, Gottlieb, Heinkel, and Müller.
Rue shook hands with all of them, but paused with Hans.
She's telling you the truth, my dear boy. We did not sleep together.
Really?
Do I look as though I have the constitution to weather such an activity? Honestly, those days are far behind me. I live now like a cloistered monk.
And what is it you do?
Yes, Rue, what is it that you do?
I am interested in antiquities, of course. I gather you are interested in much the same thing.
Do you? And how would you know that about me?
I make it my business to know about people, usually long before I meet them.
Speer glanced at Anya, but Rue held up his hand.
Anya had nothing to do with this, I assure you. She and I are old friends, nothing more.
Since when do old friends parade around in their underwear?
Ah, yes, that. Well, Anya went for a walk last night and happened to take a rather nasty fall off the dock. She was soaked, and I thought she might be swept out to sea.
You saved her?
Indeed. We were at the far end of the island, and I was forced to make a fire to warm her up. Imagine my surprise to find Anya here. We haven't seen each other in years.
That's quite a coincidence.
A lucky one for me, apparently.
You must remember to not be so careless. I hate to think what might have happened to you if your old friend was not nearby to save you.
Me too.
Do you dive, Herr Rue?
I do indeed.
Then you must join us on our excursion today.
Are you sure? I'd be honored, of course, but I don't want to intrude.
Nonsense. We can always use another diver along with us. We are exploring a reef near here. It is uncharted, and we hope to make some rudimentary surveys of the area to assist other recreational divers who might find it interesting.
That's incredibly thoughtful of you.
We do what we can. Now, you'll need diving gear, of course.
Speer waved, and Anya turned to see the dive master coming down the walkway. The dive master glanced hurriedly at Rue, who merely smiled at him.
Yes, Herr Speer.
Our new friend here requires gear for diving. Can you see to it that he's outfitted with the necessary equipment?
Of course.
Excellent.
This way, please.
I'll see you shortly.
I don't trust that man, Anya.
That's probably wise.
Does he usually make a habit of lying to people he's only just met?
I think it depends on what he's up to.
And you don't happen to know what he's up to, do you?
If I had to guess, I'd say he's probably after the same thing you are.
Thank you for being honest.
I'm just going along to see if this thing exists. I don't have any agenda for it if we find it.
But something tells me that your friend Rue there does have an agenda. Is that so?
I've never known him not to have one.
About you and him. Was he lying about that?
No. That was the truth.
I'm sorry.
Forget it. If I seemed evasive, it was because I didn't know how to tell you what was going on without creating a lot of confusion.
I understand.
Well, now that the two lovebirds are back together, I'm sure we can all agree to have a most productive outing. I'd like nothing more than to have a real reason to celebrate this evening over a hearty dinner.
Rue came down the dock, already strapped into his oxygen tank and wearing a weight belt.
I'm all set.
Apparently.
What? Am I wearing it wrong?
Not at all. It's just that we don't usually gear up until we're at the dive site.
Ah, well, I like to get a head start. I'm simply brimming with excitement about this. And to think, I thought I'd be spending this day trying out windsurfing. This is much better.
I think it will be. Most definitely.
Anya hopped onto the boat and waited until Rue had settled himself nearby. While Speer and the others finished loading the gear, Anya elbowed Rue.
You know they don't believe you, right?
Of course.
Then why the pitiful charade?
My dear girl, there are times when the appearance of a ruse is more powerful than the ruse itself. Speer will try doubly hard to locate the pearl. That means all I have to do is watch him instead of exerting myself on the hunt. It's much more convenient this way.
I hope you know what you're doing. These guys won't mess about if they think you're trying to ruin their expedition.
I don't doubt it.
The boat wobbled as the rest of the team clambered aboard. Speer settled himself by the tiller and smiled.
All set?
Uh-huh.
Then let's be off.
Was fast becoming familiar territory for Anya. When Speer had thrown the anchor over the side of the boat, they quickly got ready and dropped into the much calmer seas. Anya was amazed at how much better she felt about diving in the daylight than she had the previous night. It had been virtually impossible to see anything without the arc lights that the dive master had set up for Rue. Anya glanced down at the thought, but all traces of the lights had vanished. She frowned. Rue had probably removed them when he was finished diving last night. Hans glided near to Anya and winked at her as they descended. As they drifted lower, Anya checked her gauges to make sure she was in good shape. Everything looked fine. Speer and the team broke up as they had the previous day. Anya stayed with Hans, and they started for the area where Hans had scraped some of the barnacles off the marble. They sank onto the reef and then made their way along to the far end. Anya noted that Speer had brought along another clipboard and grease pencil for taking notes on the landscape. Also, Heinkel had brought along something that looked like a shop vac. Anya wondered if they were intending to suck away part of the sand. She and Hans made their way across to the outcropping they'd investigated yesterday. Hans found the location and started scraping again. Anya drifted nearby, but soon found herself drawn to an opening that looked distinctly like an archway. The interior was dark, and she could see very little. It was large enough to permit entry if she squeezed through, but that would be foolish. The archway might be home to a moray eel or even a small shark. Still, she wanted to see what was inside. She ran her hand along the edges of the arch and found they'd been recently scraped clean. Rue, he must have discovered something last night but didn't have enough time to complete his work. That's why he wanted an excuse to come back here. She turned toward Hans, but he was engrossed in his work. Anya felt a tap on her shoulder and turned to see Rue looking at her. He pointed at the archway and then produced a flashlight. Anya shook her head. They couldn't go in there without letting everyone else know. Rue nodded, but Anya ignored him. She waved at Hans when he looked up. Anya pointed at the archway, and then at Rue and his flashlight. Comprehension dawned on Hans's face, and he pointed at the area where Speer was exploring. He swam away to get him, leaving Anya with Rue. Rue looked annoyed, but Anya couldn't simply disappear on Hans and Speer. They'd saved her life, after all. Hans came swimming back, followed by the rest of the team. Speer's eyes widened when he saw the archway. Rue switched the flashlight on, flooding the archway with light. It appeared to open up once one got past the entrance. Rue led the way inside. They were in some sort of tunnel, filled with fish of all kinds. Rue led them farther into the tunnel, which now descended toward the seafloor. Or what would have been the seafloor if they had stayed out on the reef. The tunnel widened, and the water grew warmer. More fish shot past their face masks as Rue's flashlight illuminated the dark surrounding them. Their air bubbles drifted toward the top of the tunnel and then back behind them. They were still descending, but at a gentler rate than at first.
How much farther does this tunnel go on? And are we even still on the reef itself?
Anya checked her oxygen gauge. If the tunnel kept going much farther, they'd have to turn back, or else run out of air and die in this murky enclosure. The path started to drift and ease them up at another angle. As they ascended, their air bubbles rushed ahead of them, seeking the top of wherever they might have been. Fewer fish swam in this part of the tunnel, and the water grew even warmer, almost to the point of being uncomfortable.
Strange that it should be so warm here.
Rue's flashlight beam bounced off something light ahead. As they approached, Anya saw that it looked like smooth stone. Rue ran his hand over it and glanced back at the team. As Anya grew near, she glided her hand along it and felt the smooth, cool surface like marble. It was just like what Hans had unearthed outside on the reef.
Are we in some type of ancient structure? If we are, then there is definitely something to Speer's story about a lost civilization.
Rue kept leading them ahead. Anya took another look at her oxygen gauge. They'd be approaching the point of no return soon. She stopped and waited until Hans and Speer drew closer to her. Anya pointed at her gauge, and they nodded. Anya held up her hands, asking if they should go any farther or turn back. She saw the answer in Speer's eyes. He wanted to go on. Anya glanced at Hans, and he too wanted to press on.
I hope you guys know what you're doing.
Anya turned and kicked to catch up with Rue. He glanced back at her, perturbed with the interruption. But Anya gestured to his oxygen gauge, and he checked it. His expression softened, and then he nodded. They had time, he seemed to be saying. Let's move on. He turned back and kicked his fins, putting a little distance between him and the rest of the team. Anya hurried to catch up. And then she saw some measure of ambient light coming from somewhere up ahead. They were still a ways from the source, but Rue switched off his flashlight and stowed it on his gear belt. They could see better the farther they progressed. Anya made out more of the marble stones that hadn't been covered by barnacles or algae. Rue led them along, and the upward angle of the tunnel seemed to be increasing. They swam higher. Anya checked her oxygen gauge again and saw they were reaching a critical point. They would need to turn back soon. She looked back and saw the concern etched on Hans's face. Speer still looked excited about what was ahead of them. Anya was too, but she was also concerned they wouldn't make it back.
Where is Rue leading us?
Her legs started to ache from the swimming, and even the warm water did little to ease her pain. She saw a few fish, but nothing larger than her hand swam this far into the tunnel. The heat in the water seemed to sap her strength. She started to feel woozy. Rue kept pressing forward. The ambient light grew stronger. Anya saw more marble blocks now, each as precise as the others. They seemed to form giant steps that rose along the same angle of ascension as the tunnel. They'd never have enough oxygen to make it back to the boat safely. Hans swam up next to her and looked concerned. She gave him a feeble thumbs up, and he nodded. More light spilled into the tunnel now. Rue stopped and hovered in the midst of the tunnel. He turned back and waved them all forward. He pointed. In the middle of the tunnel, they could see a round opening far above them, where the light originated. Their air bubbles raced toward the opening, and as they watched, the bubbles broke the surface.
Finally.
They had to remember proper protocol, however, and despite the fact that they were nearly out of oxygen, they still had to time their ascents accordingly. After all, they had no real idea how deep they'd gone underwater or how much they might have to ascend since going into the tunnel. Rue led the way. Anya watched him journey up the slender tube and then saw Speer head up next. Anya waited until he had reached the top and clambered out of the tunnel before starting up herself. She watched her bubbles rise. She tasted stale air again.
Next time, I'm bringing two tanks. Enough of this crap.
She kicked upward. She felt her heart starting to race as her body experienced the lack of oxygen. Her lungs felt tight, constricted, as they cried out for fresh air. Anya felt the familiar feeling of blacking out, but clamped down on her mouthpiece and willed herself to keep going.
Stay awake.
Finally, she felt her head break through the surface of the water. She spit out her mouthpiece and sucked in fresh air, grateful to still be breathing. When she finally climbed out of the tunnel and stood, she couldn't believe her eyes. They were in a large, open, circular room lined with marble columns. Huge blocks of the stone had been scattered about the room.
What is this place?
Hans and the rest of the team climbed out of the tunnel and gaped at the sight. Speer and Rue, meanwhile, were huddled together. Speer glanced over at Anya.
You still think the theory of a lost civilization is absurd?
I don't know what to think just yet. We haven't even explored the rest of this place.
I told you she wouldn't be convinced. Anya's one of those types who often refuses to admit the truth, even when it's staring her in the face.
That's enough, Rue. Let's stow our gear and see what we can find.
They all took off their tanks and rigs. Anya pointed a finger at Rue.
I hope you're planning on finding a way to refill our tanks. Otherwise, you'll need to figure out how you're going to get us all home again.
It won't be a problem.
It won't be? How do you figure that?
Anya, if worse comes to worst, I'll simply swim back with all the tanks, use what there is left in them to breathe, and then refill them once I get there. Then I'll come back here, and we all swim out again.
You'll do that?
You don't trust me, Anya?
Let's just say I might feel a bit better if someone else did it.
Fine, fine, whatever. Now that that's settled, can we please get going? I'm dying to see what we've got here.
As am I. I wish I'd thought to bring along a camera, but I didn't think we'd find something like this. How did you ever spot it?
Oh, I just happened upon it. It looked like someone else might have found the entrance to the tunnel, but for some reason stopped working on it.
Perhaps he got interrupted and was unable to finish.
Perhaps.
Well, no matter. We're here now, and that's all that matters. The pearl must certainly be around somewhere.
Anya, Hans, and the rest of the team followed Rue and Speer out of the room and up some intricately carved steps. Along the walls, they spotted friezes showing people engaged in hunting and sports. Rue ran his hands over the friezes.
Incredible workmanship. The level of detail here is astounding. Almost as if they had been etched with some type of computer graphic tool.
That would be impossible.
You still cling to that assumption despite what you see before you? Really?
I haven't decided anything yet. But even if this is some sort of lost civilization, then I doubt very much they had computers.
You may be right, but you can't discount the level of craftsmanship.
I don't. It's remarkable.
Anya followed them up the steps and then into another antechamber. The interior walls were all in alabaster white. A wide corridor stretched before them, and Anya wondered what might lie down its length.
How is it that we have light here? Do you see any windows? Any source of light at all?
An intriguing question.
Perhaps the stone itself radiates some sort of light.
The stone seems to be marble. I've never heard of marble giving off light.
Nor I.
Rue pointed up near the cavernous ceiling.
Perhaps there's some sort of recessed lighting up where we can't see. It seems rather uniform throughout this entire structure.
Something to keep in mind, I guess.
They moved on, entering the long tunnel, which wound its way along and descended something like a reclining snake. Speer and Rue stopped frequently, exchanging opinions about the nature of construction and the geologic qualities of the marble.
I have never seen anything like it.
A remarkable strain of stone.
At the end of the tunnel, they stepped out into another chamber, this one complete with a marble altar of some sort situated above them, accessible by a circular set of steps.
I wonder what the altar was for.
Who knows what gods and goddesses these people may have worshipped.
Rue climbed the stairs, followed by Anya and Speer. Anya examined the carvings around the altar. From what she could see, people were depicted offering sacrifices to one god who appeared to have long flowing hair and horns.
A sacrificial altar? Makes me wonder how many people may have lost their lives on this very slab.
I don't think very many at all.
Why do you say that?
There's no trough.
Trough?
For the blood. Most altars have some sort of structure for catching blood and collecting it in some fashion. The blood is often more important than the sacrifice itself.
Not all altars had such a device.
I don't see any bloodstains either.
Maybe this race was meticulous in the cleanup after our sacrifice.
Perhaps.
Anya wandered back down the altar steps and made her way around the periphery of the room. The walls were all polished smooth. The stone felt cool to the touch. And again, there was enough ambient light to see extremely well. But where did it come from? She looked up at the conical ceiling above them. She could see it was equally light up there, but a lip of stone blocked her view, so she couldn't tell if there might be recessed lighting.
I wish I could get up there.
A ladder would help, if he had one.
No matter. I'm sure we'll figure it out eventually.
Anya looked around the room. Aside from the entrance, there seemed no other way out of the chamber.
Only one way in or out. But why?
Maybe the people they brought here never came out alive afterward. Is it that important?
It could be.
Anya climbed the stairs that led to the altar again and examined the slab that would have supposedly seen victims lie on it. She ran her hands over it, and again, the stone felt totally smooth.
No sign of a knife blade flecking bits of stone off this.
She leaned against the slab and tried shoving it aside.
Anya?
Give me a hand with this, would you?
Hans rushed up the steps and got behind the slab.
Do you think it will really move?
I don't know. But I feel like we're being fooled here.
Fooled? How so?
I don't know how to explain it. Maybe I can't. I just feel like we're missing something. And it could be important.
I think we're seeing what we need to see.
You ready?
Sure.
They put their strength into it, and the slab moved slightly.
Ah! Oh. We need more help here.
Müller, Gottlieb, come and see here and give us the hand.
The three men squatted and braced themselves. The slab slid away as if on a hinge.
She was right.
Lucky, more likely.
Anya peered into the opening. A set of stairs led down into a dark tunnel. She glanced up at Rue.
Still got your flashlight?
Right here.
Then I think you should take the lead on this. It looks like we're going down again.
Rue climbed over the edge of the slab and dropped down onto the stairs. Looking back up, he grinned at Anya.
You have to admit, this is incredibly fun stuff.
Just get going. I want to see where this leads.
The stairway corkscrewed down to another floor, depositing them all into a much smaller room. It was darker than where they'd come from, and they were forced to rely on Rue's flashlight in order to see.
There are sconces on the wall, but no torches anywhere.
One floor has its own light source, is yet undetermined, and the next floor has to rely on torches? Mystifying.
Not necessarily. What if the floor we just came from was more for the aristocracy, and this one is for the servants? Perhaps they don't get the nice things that their bosses get.
Or perhaps the upper floor is meant to be a sham.
Meaning what? This is not real?
Seems real enough.
It's meant to look real, and probably display all sorts of power and wealth. But what if they received visitors on the upper floor, but in reality they lived down here? They concealed their weakness, in other words.
I don't know. The more we explore, the less certain I am of anything.
Rue flashed his light on a round portal leading out of the room, and they passed through it. Rue's light bounced along the smooth walls, still made of marble, and then gradually wound around to a blocked passage, completely caved in.
More evidence of some sort of disaster.
They progressed in single file, with Rue on point. Speer trailed him, and then Anya, followed by Hans and the rest of the team.
Look at this.
Rue's light played over a massive painting of people charging into a terrifically violent battle scene. But they carried weapons that Anya had never seen before. Speer peered closer at the painting.
It's incredible. They look Asian, but what are they wielding to fight with?
Like nothing I have ever seen before.
Anya glanced at Hans and could see the mixture of curiosity and excitement on his face. But there was something else there as well. Fear.
Are you okay?
I may be overreacting, Anya, but I have the distinct impression that we are being watched.
How long have you thought that?
Since we came up out of the tunnel.
That long?
It has grown in intensity. Once you discovered the way down to this floor, it seemed to be more apparent.
Let me know if you start to feel worse.
Anya moved to the painting and studied it. There was an obvious leader riding in what looked to be a type of chariot. The wheels themselves looked as though they'd been hewn from the same marble that surrounded them now.
Stone wheels? Not very practical.
The leader of the warriors was a male with a youthful appearance. His long, wavy, dark hair stood out in stark contrast to his pale skin. In his hand, he wielded a triple-barbed spear, or trident, that looked more like it belonged to the god Neptune than a mere mortal. Swirling around him were his warriors, scores of men brandishing a host of strange-looking weapons. Their foes across the expanse of the painting were darker-skinned Asians, wielding their own terrible weaponry. They were led by a woman with blonde hair and Asian features. In the middle of the painting, a horrific scene of carnage unfolded as people were speared, mutilated, and torn asunder in garishly recreated colors.
I can't decide what to make of the location they seem to be fighting in. Those trees don't look like any trees I know of.
Anya peered closer. Speer was right. The trees, such as they were, looked more like tall ferns. Spindly tendrils that reminded Anya of seagrass were covered in blood and gore.
Perhaps they were waging this war underwater.
I don't see any gill slits on their necks.
Maybe they didn't need gills.
How else would they be able to extract oxygen from the water?
The U.S. government and a few others have tested a means of enabling soldiers to breathe underwater. From what I've heard, it's a brutal process, but there have been some successes with it.
Are you suggesting that perhaps this race had that ability?
If they're fighting underwater, it's a logical assumption.
She's right.
Rue played the flashlight around and away from the painting. More sconces sat on the walls, but there were no torches in them. He glanced back at Anya.
Of course, if they were able to live underwater, then why would they need torches? Why would this place be in the open air like this?
I have no idea. Maybe we were looking at their ancestors? Maybe they made the move to dry land at some point in their history.
Only to once again slip back into the sea when the cataclysm came. An interesting theory, Anya.
I'm just trying to make sense of the situation.
Rue's flashlight revealed another portal. This one wasn't as smooth as the others, and showed that part of it had crumbled away. Rue ran his hand over the broken portion and shook his head.
Hopefully we'll get some answers soon. And I'd like to find the pearl as well.
Anya, do you remember what I told you before?
Is it worse now?
Is there something else?
What?
Hankel is gone.
Rue, the light.
What?
Shine it back here, now.
Rue did as she asked, and Anya saw that it was true. Mueller, Gottlieb, and Hans were with them, but Hankel had vanished.
Where did he go?
We have no idea. We came down single file, but when we stopped at the painting, I think we were all amazed by it when we lost track of Hankel. He was last in line.
Hankel!
Stop shouting. It won't do any good.
Why on earth not? One of my men is missing.
Would he go back without us?
Where? Back to the tunnel?
Yes.
I doubt that. We have all been together for several years. Hankel would not abandon his friends.
Which means...
he was taken.
Uh-huh.
You don't seem surprised.
I have the feeling we're being watched as well.
Are you sure?
I'm not sure of anything, Rue. But I know when my instincts are telling me something. And they're telling me something now.
Rue gave her a searching look that seemed to ask if she could manifest the sword here. Anya shrugged. She didn't see why not, but until she actually did it, there'd be no way to know for certain.
We should double back and try to find him. He could be injured.
He might be, but I don't think splitting our forces is a good idea.
Why not?
Because if we're about to be attacked, it would be better to have all of us here to fight them off, don't you think?
I didn't think we'd be in any danger.
Hans reached down and unsheathed his diving knife.
We are armed, at least.
Those knives may not do much. Did you see what the weapons were in that painting?
Weapons don't make a fighter. Spirit does. And if they have harmed my friends, they will have a fight on their hands.
All right, all right. I was just letting you know what you might be up against.
Müller, Gottlieb, auf der Hut sein, wenn ich das Wort geben, bilden wir einen schützenden Kreis.
Did you hear that noise?
What noise?
I did. It sounded like something metallic.
If something strange happens in the next few minutes, I want you to promise that you won't be upset with me, okay?
Why would I be upset with you?
Just promise.
All right, I promise.
Anya nodded. She closed her eyes and saw the sword hovering in the otherwhere. It was ready to be summoned if she needed it. She opened her eyes and saw Rue looking at her with an inquisitive expression. She nodded at him. She'd be ready.
Circle up.
The six of them formed a circle with their backs to one another so they could keep an eye on every approach. Suddenly, Hankel came running around the corner, fast. Anya looked at him, saw the expression on his face, and then glanced at Rue. The old man held up his hand.
What happened to you?
They grabbed me from behind, and there were too many of them to fight off.
Who?
Them.
Anya whirled. The corridor ahead of them was filled with angry-looking warriors, similar to those depicted in the painting. There were at least a dozen of them, from what Anya could see, and each one of them carried a long trident. The weapons looked even more menacing than they had in the painting.
Who are you? We mean you no harm.
I don't think they will agree with that sentiment, Hans. And I am certain they mean us harm.
Then let them come.
Hans, I don't mean to overstep my bounds here, but that knife is not going to do a thing to these chaps. You won't even get close to them before they have you on a spit like one of those delicious pigs they serve back at Club Noah.
You have a better idea?
Actually, yes. Now might be the time, my dear.
What does he mean by that?
I didn't want to have to do this, but it appears I have no choice. Not if we want to get out of here alive.
Hans stood there staring at her with a confused expression on his face. Anya saw the sword and then reached for it.
Oh, Saisa! How did you do that?
It's a long story.
All that matters is she knows how to use it.